Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer's planning to revive a vote on a bipartisan immigration bill, but the odds of it passing are slim, as one of the Republican negotiators, Senator James Lankford, says he's not going to vote for it again.
No one really seems to want to have serious conversation on it. At some point, we've got to be able to do the basics of what we can do. It's going to be a slimmed down bill. Whatever we can do, it'll be something slimmed down on the essentials, but no one seems to want to sit down and really be able to work it out right now.
Speaker Mike Johnson said it would be dead on arrival in the House. British Prime Minister Rishi Sunak called a snap election for July 4th, hoping to capitalize on encouraging economic data, even as polls show his conservatives trailing the Labour Party. Home prices in California have hit a new high, the median price over $900,000. And the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau has a new rule for popular buy now, pay later programs. They'll be required to investigate disputes and issue refunds. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio.
For Civic Media, I'm Savannah Tome Olson. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. It's a busy day of storm cleanup for many parts of the state. Severe weather hit just about every region of Wisconsin. Straight-line winds are responsible for most of that damage, but National Weather Service experts will investigate whether any tornadoes touched down. Before that storm system hit us, it moved through Iowa. Multiple people have died in the small town of Greenfield, south of Des Moines. And the cicadas have arrived. Officials from the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources say they've gotten photos from someone in Lake Geneva showing the first time they've been seen this year. Even the DNR admits their mating calls can be deafening and annoying. Those are their words, not mine. They're expected to keep emerging in the southern portions of the state through June and won't show up again until 2041. For Civic Media, I'm Savannah Tome Olson. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. A Douglas County Sheriff's Office detective has been arrested after an alleged hit-and-run crash while under the influence of alcohol. According to the Superior Police Department, 50-year-old Matthew DeRosia was arrested on Sunday night at around 10:15 after officers saw sparks coming from a blown-out tire on his vehicle. Officers later determined that his car had collided with a parked car about a block away from where he was stopped, sending it onto the sidewalk. DeRosia then allegedly failed a field sobriety test. Opening arguments began in a long unsolved Polk County murder trial on Monday. Earlier this year, authorities arrested Mary Jo Bailey of Arizona for the 1985 murder of Yvonne Menke outside of her apartment in St. Croix Falls. The criminal complaint alleges that Menke and Bailey were both dating the same man at the same time, and one of Menke's daughters took the witness stand after the opening arguments. Bailey's attorney argued that there was no DNA evidence to link her 81-year-old client to the crime. And that's what you need to know. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
A full house for Packers OTAs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens. The Packers, with nearly perfect attendance for voluntary organized team practices. Matt LaFleur asked, how much credit should be given to Jordan Love for being present despite he has not been offered a new contract yet?
It's everything to us. I think if you look at our attendance here, and you know, we've had almost 100% the entire offseason, which has been the best that we've had since I've been here. And I always think that when you look around the league, when your quarterback's there, just naturally has a way of attracting everybody to come.
Jordan Love says he's working on being a vocal leader.
Talk to guys more, being in guys' ear a little bit more, and just trying to focus on being a better leader. Get with these relationships with guys in here, it gets easier.
Baseball, the Brewers came back to win 7-5 last night in Miami. It seemed as if the crew had a lot of leadoff batters get on base.
Yeah, I mean, I think both teams did today, to be honest with you. And we had opportunities, and you can't squander those opportunities usually and win.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
More clouds than sun today and a few spotty showers lingering, alongside breezy winds whipping up to 30 miles per hour. Highs today will scrape the upper 60s and we'll get a shove warmer tomorrow to the mid-70s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now it's 62 degrees.
My mom has taken up going to the park to practice yoga.
My dad's going to a club, but not a book club, a salsa club.
Finding new hobbies comes with age.
My mom has started getting lost and not knowing where she's going.
Becoming lost or disoriented doesn't. Confusion with time or place may be a sign of Alzheimer's. An early diagnosis can help improve the quality of life for your loved one. Learn the warning signs of Alzheimer's at 10signs.org. Brought to you by the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Earl Ingram.
Susan from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Susan. You say what?
I've been marching since I was 17. I'm 74. And women need to get out. You need to vote because you don't want to go back to 1950 where you weren't allowed a credit card, where you weren't allowed to purchase a car or a home. These are things that are at stake.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pat Kreitlow.
Thursday on Up North News Radio, our Women Win Wisconsin profile from Motherhood for Good visits with State Assembly Democratic leader Greta Neubauer.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow, weekday mornings starting at 6. Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Live on location, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our producer and engineer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, back at the world headquarters, high atop State Street, a block off the Capitol Square. We are on location here in the town of Dunn, just outside of Oregon, Wisconsin, in south central Wisconsin. For those watching on the stream, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube, look at this gorgeous surrounding. I'm surrounded by colors and flowers and sunshine. It could not be better. We thank Gordy Kopke, the owner proprietor here at Kopke's Greenhouse, for allowing us to do this show today. We thank him for his sponsorship of Civic Media and, of course, his time joining us all last hour, answering some great flower and garden questions. We appreciate all of you tuning in and joining in with that. We turn our attention now this half hour to our next guest. And again, invite your calls on this subject as well. He is PJ Leash here. He is better known as the Bug Guy to some people across the state of Wisconsin. He is the director of the University of Wisconsin-Madison Insect Diagnostic Lab, holds degrees in biological sciences from UW-Parkside and entomology from UW-Madison, also involved with the Wisconsin Master Gardener Program and the First Detector Network, and also an instructor in the Wisconsin Pesticide Applicator Training and UW Farm and Industry Short Course. He's a frequent guest on Wisconsin Public Radio, and we are absolutely honored to have him here on Civic Media. PJ, joining us via StreamYard from his very busy offices at UW-Madison, thank you so much for taking time out of what I know is your busy day.
Sure. Well, thanks for having me today, Todd, to chat about cicadas and all things insect related.
Well, it's a fascinating subject. And before we get into the cicadas themselves, how does one get to be known as the Wisconsin Bug Guy? Is this something as a kid you were always out chasing fireflies? What led you to want to go into this?
Yeah, so there was a little bit of that. I grew up in a farm town in southeastern Wisconsin. We had a big yard, shared a pond with a dairy farm next door, like a lot of Wisconsinites do. You just have dairy farms around. But I spent a lot of time as a kid catching frogs and toads and salamanders, fireflies, anything else kind of creepy crawly. And that led to really kind of a blooming interest in biology in my childhood, going through high school. And so when I started college, I knew from day one, biology major, and I never looked back. And then back in about 2005 or so, when I was a student at UW-Parkside in Kenosha, I got linked up with an entomologist here in Madison that was starting to do some survey work to look for the invasive emerald ash borer, which we've all heard a lot about. It wasn't here yet that we knew of, but I did two summers of a job looking for that as part of an internship. And so I scouted thousands of ash trees in southeastern Wisconsin and other parts of the state. didn't find it at the time, but that got my foot in the door to entomology. So I tell folks Emerald Ash Borer was my gateway bug. That led to graduate school. And then it was also a little bit of luck. My predecessor, Phil Pelletieri, ran the diagnostic lab here for about 35 plus years. And he happened to be retiring, and I was interested in the position and moved in. I've been doing it a decade already.
I thought it was interesting that your predecessor also went by PJ as well. So I'm like, maybe the only hire PJs here at this position.
Not quite. That's just kind of random chance how it happened.
Well, I think it's so cool. And what I love about this is your passion for it, but also the fact that we're finding out things that I didn't necessarily know existed before. And from reading a couple articles, so you have people that will email you or literally either put a bug in the mail or stop by and say, what the heck is this?
Yeah, and really the reason for the foundation of the lab back in the late 70s was to help colleagues in the University Extension Service around the state. As you can imagine, if you were an agriculture educator, ag agent in various counties, you've got to answer questions about the health of dairy cows, about crops, about what's this insect in my yard or garden or house. And so the idea was, let's try this diagnostic lab thing. There was some temporary funding as kind of a 3-month experiment, and it was so successful. Here we are close to 50 years later at this point. So I do get emails, photographs. I mean, these days, everyone's got a pretty high resolution camera in their pocket. Right. I do get samples in the mail, and sometimes folks in the Madison area just pop in and drop something off. Had a couple folks stop by earlier and just told them right away what it was and if it was something worrisome, what they could potentially do about it.
You're younger than me, but I know back in the day when Johnny Carson used to host The Tonight Show and Letterman did a kind of a bit on it, they had a bit called Stump the Band, where somebody in the audience would try to figure out a song that Doc Severinsen or Paul Schaefer couldn't play, they win a prize or whatever. Has anybody ever stumped the Wisconsin bug guy?
Yeah, it depends on context, though. So first of all, we've got an estimated probably 20,000 insect species in the state. We don't know an exact number, but probably something in that ballpark. So there's still plenty of things that I have not seen. But also, it depends. Sometimes I get in photos that are just so-so. You know, I can only narrow something down so far and say, if we want to know the exact genus or species, I really need to see it under the microscope and work with it. So that happens on a very regular basis. Sometimes about 4 or 5% of my cases come from out of state or even international cases. And sometimes those can take me a while to figure out. I'm actually helping a colleague work on narrowing down the identity of some beetles from Uzbekistan right now. And that's just going to be a little fun side project. It's probably going to take me a while just to track down and get some taxonomic keys translated to be able to start the process of working on those.
That's absolutely fascinating. And again, world identification happening at University of Wisconsin-Madison. I just think that's super cool. If you have a bug question or a cicada question for PJ, give us a call, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. You can text us on the Civic Media app available on your Apple or Android device. All right, PJ, let's get into it here. So this year, between now and the beginning of July, billions, with a B, billions of periodical cicadas are emerging across the central and southern United States. So we got Brood 13 and we got Brood 19. Brood 13, I'm told, appears every 17 years. Brood 19 appears every 13 years. And for the first time since 1803, these two broods are coming out together and emerging together. I mean, with everything else going on in the world, PJ, is this the locust coming? Is this a biblical sign, or is this just science?
This is just science.
Okay, all right, very good.
With these life cycles, we know when they're going to come out, and it turns out there are written records of these insects dating back to about the 1630s, with some of the Europeans coming over to Plymouth Colony in New England. And they said, what the heck are all these things? Because these periodical cicadas only occur in the eastern half of the U.S. So imagine that, coming to the new world, seeing something and experiencing something you've never thought of before. And of course, there were, you know, some biblical connotations, the plagues right. of Egypt. And for a while, these insects were referred to as flies. Sometimes they were referred to as locusts or 17-year locusts. And locust is basically a type of grasshopper, but locusts can be problems for crops and things like that. Mm. These cicadas really don't harm your corn crops or bean crops, anything like that. But we have been having written records and studies of these insects for close to 400 years at this point. And prior to that, of course, the Native Americans living here were very well of these insects too, because they would see them pop out on a regular basis.
So talk to us a little bit about these broods. Why is it that they only appear on these timetables of 17 and 13 years respectively, and where are they the rest of the time?
Yeah, so there's still some of the core things of their biology that we don't fully understand. Like some of the species have a 13-year cycle, some have a 7-year cycle. There's probably some genetic components to that, but we still don't fully understand why, because all our other cicada species that we see in the state, their life cycles might be in the range of 2 to 3, 4, maybe 5-ish years. But these very long life cycles, what's the mechanism? What makes that tick? We do know there's some possible reasons for that. It could be a potential evolutionary strategy. If you come out at very long time intervals and in huge numbers, there's so many of you that predators can't catch on to that, and that's going to ensure some survive to reproduce. But it's really cool to think about. I've got a couple of young kids at home, and so ask them, how old are these insects? And, you know, they're thinking single-digit numbers. But these insects popping out in Wisconsin this year are 17 years old. For most of their life cycle, we're talking like 95%+ of their life cycle, it's below ground, in the dark, in the soil. In about the top 2 feet or so of the soil, they are feeding on the roots of trees. Don't really hurt the trees, but they sit there and they've got a mouth part kind of like a mosquito. So they poke it into the tree roots and they drink sap out of it.
Got it. And they don't, and to clear things up, these are not bugs that are going to attack us as humans or even probably our pets, correct?
Right. They're really quite harmless. They're not toxic. They don't have any poisons in them or anything like that. They don't have a stinger, so they can't sting you. They're not going to bite you. I mean, maybe if you grabbed one, they're really lethargic. But if you were mean to it, ripping things off, it might try biting you. At which point, you know, maybe you have it coming to you.
Exactly.
But, no, they're really quite harmless. They are clumsy. They're docile. And the only thing in their mind for the most part is trying to mate for the month or so that the adults are out. And because they are clumsy, they're actually going to be a big benefit to wildlife in the area. All sorts of fish, birds, turtles, mammals are going to gorge themselves on these things.
Now, see, you bring up an interesting question. I've got about a minute and a half here before the first break. But this reminds me a little bit, and correct me if I'm wrong, there's a PBS series called Survival Big Little Journeys or something. I've watched a couple of these on bugs. And basically, it seems like cicadas, their entire mission is to emerge, eat, and have sex and die. I mean, wouldn't that just be the life if that was all there was to life? I mean, it sounds like a pretty good gig, quite frankly.
Yeah, and I mean, there's actually quite a few insects that have a story somewhat similar to that. They will emerge for a short period of time in very large numbers. In some cases, they may not even eat at all, and they're just trying to mate in this very short window of time. And so it's a mad dash. That same kind of thing happens. We hear of these huge emergences of mayflies along the Mississippi River, like La Crosse area. That usually happens every year in June, July. They only come out for about 24, 36 hours. So they don't even eat as adults. They're just mad dash to try and mate, and that's it.
Sounds like a club downtown. We'll come back and ask PJ. Oh, here's a great question for a listener. What advice for people who are scared of bugs? Your questions, your calls, 855-752-4842. Back with more on Location from Copies.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in quick podcast format? Search no more. Find it now on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio. Your news just for the Amory area. I'm James Kelly with WLAK News.
An unsuspecting driver at a gas station in Wisconsin.
Welcome, Pump 15. How you doing?
Great.
Were you wearing your seatbelt today?
I never wear my seatbelt.
We're going to get him. We're going to get him real good.
Oh, my goodness.
Hello, sir. How you doing? Dollar driver. It takes 1 second to strap a seatbelt on. Well, let's do this. Let's do it together.
Now, don't that feel better?
Donald Driver can't always be there to remind you.
Click it or ticket.
And let's reduce fatalities on Wisconsin roadways.
And I should have recognized your voice when you harassed
me. I'm watching you.
Sponsored by Wisconsin DOT.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tylo Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are live at Kopke's Greenhouse in the beautiful town of Dunn, just outside of Oregon, Wisconsin. We talked to Gordy of Kopke's Greenhouse last hour, talking this half hour with PJ Leash, who is the Insect Diagnostic Lab Director at the University of Wisconsin-Madison in the Extension Department. He is an entomologist. Am I saying that correctly? Entomologist? Yep. All right, very good. And better known as Wisconsin's Bug Guy, which I love that handle. You can find him on the old Twitter, which is now X, and answering your bug questions. PJ, I read here from one of the things the university put out, says you receive about 2,500 requests to identify insects per year, but that goes up dramatically at a time like this when all these cicadas come out, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I will be really curious to see what my caseload is like when all the dust settles at the end of this year. But if you were to look at a chart month-by-month basis of caseload, it's a distinct bell curve. I get into about mid-May, and then things are really pretty busy until about mid-September, and they start easing up a bit. So my summer months, I'm usually getting 20 to 30 different insect identification requests per day.
And wow. And how many media histories do you want from goofballs like me who never call you any other time, and then the cicadas come out like, oh, now we want to talk to him.
Oh, gosh. I keep track of media interviews for my annual reporting and that sort of thing. And I think this is about interview number 53 for the year. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, thank you. I know it is. We have lots of questions here. We're going to get to them. If you have a question for PJ regarding cicadas or other bugs, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842, or you can text us on the Civic Media app. Let's get right into it, PJ. This is Matt listening in from Germantown, Wisconsin, on WAUK in Waukesha. Says, what advice do you have for someone who is scared of bugs? Good question. I mean, some people, it makes people squirmish for some folks.
Yeah, great question, Matt. And it's a common question that I get. I think one thing is to kind of look at the bigger picture. We have about 20,000 or so different insect species in Wisconsin. Then you add all the spiders and other things on top of that are closely related to them. Worldwide, there's over 1 million known species of insects. And the vast majority of these, the overwhelming majority, we're talking 95-ish% of all these insects are beneficial. They're providing critical ecosystem services like pollination, like breaking down dead stuff. That could be plant material. It could be roadkill. There's a long list of insects that help break that stuff down and kind of recycle those nutrients in the ecosystem. So they do some really important things. But I think what really can get people to connect is just the fascinating nature of some of these things. One of my favorite books I ever read about insects was called Secret Weapons by Thomas Eisner. And it talks about the chemical defenses of insects and related creatures. And it's mind-boggling what insects can do. There is a type of beetle called the bombardier beetle, for example, that basically has two tanks of chemicals in its body. And when they're separate, they're fine. But if it's startled and needs to defend itself, it mixes these together in a chute. They react explosively and come out boiling hot out the back end of the insect. So there's just wild facts about insects out there. And I think when folks read about that, it's like, wow, that's really cool. I want to know more.
That's incredible. That was worth the whole segment right there. That's incredible. All right, we got a lot of questions. Well, I'll get to it here. We have Donna calling in or texting from La Crosse, Wisconsin, on the Eagle up there in La Crosse, our station there. Says the question is, is there any type of competition between the two broods of cicadas when they emerge at the same time?
Yeah, that's a really good question. Again, so this year we have two different broods, brood 13, Roman numeral 13, which is up here in Wisconsin, northern Illinois, a little bit of Indiana, a little bit of Iowa. Then there's brood 19, the great southern brood, which goes from kind of mid Illinois down south and then all the way across to Georgia and the Carolinas. It turns out for these two broods, they only overlap very slightly, maybe a couple of counties in central Illinois. Central Eastern Illinois, and there also might be some separation temporally in terms of the timing. So these two broods this year really aren't going to be interacting much, if at all. But when you look at the bigger picture, technically there are a total of 15 currently known broods of cicadas. So there's 12 with 17-year cycles, there's three with 13-year cycles. And if you look at a map, U.S. Forest Service has a cool color-coded map. Some states like Ohio, Pennsylvania, Virginia, you can have four or five broods in the same state. So they do overlap a little bit, but my impression is they're probably having enough space underground, enough tree roots to go around. So I'm not aware of really much direct competition between the different broods.
And correct me if I'm wrong, PJ, we're talking to PJ Leach from University of Wisconsin-Madison, the bug guy, about cicadas in particular, but all bug questions. Not particularly harmful to plants, except I think I read that the 8 or 10 inches on a branch where they might lay their eggs, so you can put a mesh over that for a couple of weeks until they're done, but otherwise no major damage, correct, to plants?
Right, right. And their damage is actually caused not through feeding, but through egg laying of the females. And as you just mentioned, Todd, she'll lay eggs in twigs, small branches. So the outer 6 to 12 inches might break off. Those leaves will wilt. On a large tree, it's going to be conspicuous, but the trees just shrug it off. But if you have a small tree, like you just planted it last year, cover it with fine mesh netting. But one thing I'd really like to highlight is the distribution of periodical cicadas in Wisconsin. It's really spotty. It's like pushpins on a map. And so most folks in the state are not going to have these in their yard or neighborhood. There's hot spots like Lake Geneva, Beloit, Janesville, and so on. But a question I've been asking folks, because I've had a lot of folks contacting me, do I need to worry about my trees? And I ask, were you in the same house in 07 during the last emergence? If you were, and you did not see them that year, you almost certainly won't see them this year. And if that's the case, you don't have to worry about your plants, because the cicadas, they really don't leave areas where they come out of. They're restricted to these same spots every single year.
Let's go quickly to the phone lines. Lee calling in from Lomira. Lee, your phone call. Go ahead quickly, please.
Hi, PJ. You have a fascinating vocation. I have a question about cicadas. If you pick a cicada up and place it on your hand or arm, they seem to stick to you. How are they able to accomplish this?
Yeah, great question. So it turns out most insects will have these little claw-like structures at the end of their legs, an area called the tarsi. We would informally call it the feet. But basically, they've got these little hooks on there, kind of like the hooks on Velcro. Mm-hmm. So most insects have those at the tips of their legs, allows them to hang on very well. There's a few exceptions. Some, like the water striders that walk on the surface of the water, theirs are actually raised up more towards their elbow, so to speak, so they don't break the surface tension. But with those little claws there present, they can hang on very well.
Speed round, 20 seconds. Any natural ant deterrent, someone wants to know.
Oh, gosh, nothing that's great. I hear a lot of hype about various essential oils and cinnamon and stuff like that. There may be a hint of truth, a bit of repellency, but nothing long lasting.
Are cicadas good fishing bait?
Oh, that's a great question. I would suspect so. I have not heard about it myself, so you might have to give it a try.
All right, sounds good. This is somebody listening to Oshkosh. They love the conversation about cicadas. And just wanted to say thanks a lot, and thank you, PJ, so very much. Really appreciate your time. Thanks for all you do. And you can find him at Wisconsin Bug Guy. Thanks for taking the time to join us.
Thanks for having me today.
Our pleasure. PJ Leach of University of Wisconsin-Madison, Wisconsin's Bug Guy. Stay tuned. More On Location of Kopke's next.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
From WMDX Madison, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. It's been a deadly week here in Wisconsin for people riding ATVs. A man died and a woman was hurt in a crash Sunday in Lafayette County. Another man died in an accident Thursday in Outagamie County. And a week ago in Shawano County, a 13-year-old girl died in a crash. If you're born after 1988, you must take an ATV safety course to drive on public lands. But the DNR says those courses are open to everyone. More and more evidence shows social media can be dangerous for kids. Deb Schmill's daughter died of an accidental overdose after she was bullied online.
We want to make sure that no other children die or are harmed by the same design features that have harmed our children.
The U.S. House Committee takes up the bipartisan Kids Online Safety Act this week. For Civic Media, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. A new blood donation center has officially opened in Duluth. According to a Northern News Now report, blood donors gathered outside Memorial Blood Center's new facility for its grand opening on Tuesday. The opening comes at a vital time for the city, as local officials have said for weeks they've been dealing with a shortage of blood donations. The new building will offer expanded capacity to keep up with demand as best it can, as well as a number of new amenities for donors. More information on their services is available online. The Women's Business Alliance North has been named the 2024 Women's Business Center of Excellence. According to a Fox 21 report, the organization includes a number of businesses in Douglas County and throughout the Northeast Minnesota region, with a focus on assisting women of color and those from low-income households achieve their entrepreneurial goals. The organization's support services include advising, training, and opening opportunities for women in the region to make their businesses successful. And that's what you need to know. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. If you're wondering how long it takes to make a comeback in Hollywood after basically attacking a man on stage, the answer is a little over 2 years. That's how long it's been since Slapgate, featuring the humorless Will Smith, who slapped the much smaller Chris Rock in front of the entire world. Bad Boys 4, yawn, hits theaters June 7th, and now Deadline has announced a new Smith film called Sugar Bandits. Deadline reports that in Sugar Bandits, Smith plays a tough special forces op who takes out drug dealers in Boston. Cool. Drug dealers hate being slapped. Football player, excuse me, kicker, Harrison Butker has come under fire since his recent misogynistic commencement speech at Benedictine College. Pearl Jam singer Eddie Vedder shared his thoughts, telling a crowd during a concert in Las Vegas that people of quality don't fear equality. A nice little speech and a valid point, but kind of a bummer of an encore. Fans were probably hoping for Evenflo or Jeremy. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
More clouds than sun today and a few spotty showers lingering, alongside breezy winds whipping up to 30 miles per hour. Highs today will scrape the upper 60s and we'll get a shove warmer tomorrow to the mid-70s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 64.
Matt Mayer on air.
Dr. Karen Tamarius, she's a political psychiatrist, and we're talking about how to talk to people with which we do not agree.
Think of the mind as a rider on an elephant. The conscious part is the rider, and the emotional part is the elephant. If you want the person to change their mind, you need to talk with the elephant, not the rider.
Matt Mayer on air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
And here's Heather with the weather.
Well, it's beautiful out there, sunny and 75, almost a little chilly in the shade. Now, let's get a read on the inside of your car. It is hot. You've only been parked a short time, and it's already 99 degrees in there. Let's not leave children in the back seat while running errands. It only takes a few minutes for their body temperatures to rise, and that could be fatal.
Cars get hot, fast, and can be deadly. Never leave a child in a car. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Crude and Dom.
Tune in to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Trump's trying to unite the Reich. We'll talk about it. We'll take your phone calls. Devil's Advocates.
The Devil's Advocates. Weekdays 4 till 6.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tyler Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are live on location here at the beautiful Kopke's Greenhouse in the town of Dunn, just outside of Oregon, Wisconsin. And let me tell you, Mr. Sommers, we are here, and it's beautiful. I know you're back at the studios high atop State Street. But have you been out here before, by the way? Have you come out here?
I have not, but I'm not exactly sure what my Memorial Day weekend plans are yet. But if I am staying in town, I will definitely head out there and at least get a brat and make a small donation.
Yeah, get a brat. Gordy, the owner here, is going to be grilling a brat. They've got drinks. And all proceeds, because they get all this stuff donated, you see, all the proceeds from the brat stand, as well as the planter auction, all of it goes to Wisconsin Honor Flights, and just to help get veterans out to Washington, D.C. It's a great cause, and it's just going to be a good time had by all, as my old teacher Ken Lewis is fond of saying. But come on out here on Sunday, 3 o'clock, and live music. We're right here in this beautiful gazebo, hand-built by Gordy Kopke himself. And there's going to be live music here in the gazebo. There's going to be food. There's going to be this plant auction at 3 o'clock. So stop on out. And by the way, of course, you could buy yourself a vegetable or a flowering plant to put on your deck or your patio or in your garden or what have you. It's a great place, and it's easy enough to find. It just basically type into your phone, your smartphone or whatever, or your device, Kopke's Greenhouse. It's spelled K-O-P as in Paul, K-E-S Greenhouse, Kopke's Greenhouse in Oregon, Wisconsin, or technically in the town of Dunn. It's a beautiful little drive out here. It's just south of Madison. Plenty of free parking for you, and just a great time. Hospitality, and as I said, as you can see the plants, if you're watching on Facebook, Twitter, or YouTube, in front of me, some beautiful plants here on our set today, and behind me as well. Just you can spend a lot of time here, and the selection is fantastic. The quality of the plants, the staff here is not only knowledgeable but super, super friendly. And we heard from Gordy in the first hour, that's really something that had been a goal of his. I'll tell you, he's achieved it, which is having this very knowledgeable and friendly staff around. You can't walk very far at all without somebody asking you, hey, have you been helped? Do you have any questions? Welcome. It's just a great place. And also, the thing that I really stands out to me as well is the affordability of the products here. I mean, you're not going to get gouged, you know, if you come out here to Kopke's. The prices are fair, and especially for what you're getting, which is fantastic quality plants right here. Glad to be here today, and thanks again to Gordy Kopke for all of the great hospitality. Also, thanks again to PJ Leash. How about PJ? Great to have him on, Wisconsin's bug guy, and thanks for all the participation, thanks for all the calls and the text there as well. The cicadas break coming out. I don't want to say a breakout. That sounds like it's you know, a terrible, terrible thing. I think for some people it's just more inconvenient, right, Mr. Sommers? I mean, I've heard some people having scheduled weddings and from the research.
Rough.
Right, but from the research I got from UW Madison, it's like 90 or 100 decibels if you're right in like where some of these cicadas are coming out.
Oh yeah,
because they're singing to each other. You understand? The males are singing to the females because they want to hook up before they die. I mean, don't we all? But I mean, not all of us are yelling at 90 decibels.
That video I watched about cicadas. If you or anybody you know is interested in just sound, how sound works, the physics of it, just trying weird things with sound, check out Ben Jordan, B-E-N-N, Ben Jordan on YouTube.
Okay.
His video about cicadas was excellent, and I learned the reason why they're so loud, because something that small should not be able to be 90 or 100 decibels. But right. So that's the male cicadas. The female cicadas just click really slowly, so it's just like...
just
a
chilling.
Slow click, and
they're
so
chilling.
if you want to bring all the boys to the yard, you just get a little like one of those handheld clickers and just slowly click it, and the male cicadas will land on you like crazy. But the reason that they're so loud is because they have built in basically the same thing, the same mechanism as the little handheld clicker, but there's two of them, and they are so perfectly in sync that they just multiply each other like crazy, and it gets so loud. I thought it was fascinating.
It would be fascinating to hear him. I'm not sure I want to live next to an outbreak, but an emergence. But fascinating information from PJ Leisha. We appreciate him coming on the show today. Mr. Sommers, we have a special Memorial Day show coming up next Monday. By the way, tomorrow, Jeff Timmer is going to join us. And for those who normally join us on Wednesdays for our political conversation with Pat Kreitlow from Up North News Radio and from Trigvi Olson, the Lincoln Project, they'll both return next Wednesday, but we had an opportunity to do this show on location, so we wanted to do that today. Tomorrow, Jeff Timmer from the Lincoln Project is going to be joining us in hour number one, and then on Friday, Brady Ewing, three-time Big Ten champion with Wisconsin football Badgers, also spent 3 years in the NFL. He'll be on the show on Friday, so two big days left. And then Monday, we're going to have one of the folks from Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs in talking about all the great work that they do on Veterans Day. Do you have any plans, Mr. Zomers, to travel anywhere for the weekend?
I do. I may go to Manitowoc to visit my family. I'm not 100% sure on that yet, but I know on Monday I'll be going to a baseball game.
Mm. The Brewers? The Brew Crew?
Yes.
Oh, nicely done. Nicely done. Well, here now, from courtesy of CBS News, I know a lot of people are going to be traveling. It's a big travel weekend. Here, a quick story that I thought that folks might enjoy here. From CBS, Memorial Day weekend 2024 could break travel records. Here's what to know.
Oh,
here's
boy.
What you need to know. I know, right? Despite another month of spring technically still ahead, travelers often view Memorial Day weekend as an unofficial kickoff to the summer season. And traffic notoriously reflects that. Based on current forecasts, travel around the upcoming 2024 holiday this coming Monday, May 27th, is not expected to relieve Memorial Day of its bad reputation for drivers and airline passengers. They may actually find themselves on some of the busiest highways and flights they've seen in decades. The American Automobile Association, or AAA, AAA, warned of potentially unprecedented congestion on the roads this weekend, along with airports that could be even more crowded than in past years. The organization, which looks at various economic factors and partners with other groups to project travel conditions, announced earlier this month that an estimated, get this, 43.8 million people across the United States would likely travel at least 50 miles between tomorrow, Thursday, and Monday, Memorial Day proper. That would mark a 4% increase in overall travel compared to last year, according to AAA. It would also come close to the busiest Memorial Day weekend on record, which happened in 2005, when 44 million people left home for the holiday. Now, for those planning to hit the road or board a plane this weekend, here is what to know. Memorial Day weekend this year expected to set new records for road trips, according to AAA. As we said, 38.4 million people expected to travel over the course of the holiday weekend, which would be the biggest holiday since the group started keeping track of Memorial Day travel in 2000. Car rental company Hertz told AAA that demand for rentals this year will be the highest in Atlanta, Boston, Las Vegas, and Orlando. So that's what you need to know. Most renters scheduled to pick up their cars on Thursday and Friday. In general, and this is news you can use, drivers hoping to beat the traffic or at least face less of it should avoid the roads during the afternoon hours on any day of the long weekend. According to AAA, the worst times to travel by car in any U.S. time zone is between 12 noon and 6 p.m. tomorrow.
Well, that's bad news for me, at least on Monday, is that the game I'm going to is at 3:10, so I'm going to be driving during the worst time.
Go early, Mr. Zobbers. But yeah, so tomorrow, Thursday, noon to 6, and then also between noon and 7 p.m. on Friday, between 2 and 5 p.m. on Saturday, 3 and 7 p.m. on Sunday, and 3 and 7 p.m. on Monday. So as they say, the early bird gets the worm. If you want to get on the road early, if you want to beat some of the traffic. Some of the best times the best time to travel, according to AAA this weekend, before 11 a.m. or after 7 p.m. tomorrow, before 11 a.m. or after 8 p.m. on Friday, before 1 p.m. or after 6 p.m. on Saturday, and before 1 p.m. on Sunday, and after 7 p.m. on Monday. So there you go. Your travel tips on when, again, probably just to say it succinctly, get on the road early and have your, try to be at your destination before noon, if you can, to avoid the biggest crowds. Now, if you're flying, airports across the country are bracing for another spike in travelers following an upward trend in flights booked around Memorial Day, since last year's air travel numbers exceeded pre-pandemic levels. An estimated 3.5 million people are projected to fly this weekend, according to AAA. That's up from about 100,000 who traveled on planes to their destination last year. If as many people fly as expected, this will be the most crowded Memorial Day weekend at airports since 2005. United Airlines alone says that 500,000 people are expected to fly each day between Thursday and Tuesday, which would be the airline's busiest Memorial Day on record. I would not want to be at an airport this weekend, Mr. Summers.
I would not either.
No. It's kind of like Thanksgiving Day weekend. But if you are going to go, if you've already bought your tickets, if you're flying this weekend, as they say, pack your patience.
Because nobody
wants a hothead, you know?
The only good thing about traveling on holidays is that there are some good movies about it.
Well, that's true. Planes, trains, all
deals. Exactly.
Where are you flying this weekend? Who are you traveling this weekend? Give us a sense of what you're up to. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Make it easy for you. 855-75-CIVIC. Or you can text us on the Civic Media app. Tell us where you're going to this weekend, on this holiday weekend. And as we say, look, I mean, it is a great weekend. Again, most folks or a lot of people get an extra day if you're not working on Monday. And that's fine. Go out and enjoy the barbecues and the lake and whatever you're going to do out there. Enjoy it with friends and family. But just take a moment at least to pause and reflect and remember what Memorial Day proper is about. And that is the remembrance, particularly of those who gave everything, our military folks who lost their lives in battle, so that you and I could go out and enjoy all these freedoms that we, at least I, too often take for granted. So we'll have a special Memorial Day show, as we said, on Monday, and looking forward to bringing you that. A lot of music on some military bands and that sort of thing, and looking forward to that special show on Monday. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Also text us on the Civic Media app. Matt from Germantown, listening on WAUK, says, I'm driving to Minnesota from Milwaukee at 1 p.m. Friday. Sounds like it's not going to be fun. Well, maybe better, Matt, than, you know, getting on the road at like 3 p.m. See, I think the longer you go into the middle of the afternoon, because people are starting to get off of work, or they might say, well, I can take an hour or two early, but I can't leave at, you know, 11 o'clock. So the earlier I think you can go, the better off you are. But just pack your patience. Don't do the road rage thing. And, you know, don't be a goofball. I'm not talking to Matt specifically, but anybody. You know, we don't need these 95-mile-per-hour drivers zipping in and out. That's what causes a lot of these accidents.
Absolutely.
Also listening on WMDX from Madison, a listener texts in and says, I never travel on these sorts of holidays. I take the 4 days after the holiday off every year, stringing together 9 straight days off, and I prep my gardens, pool, and landscaping for the summer. Now that is a smart caller, a smart listener right there. How about that? Back with one more segment live from Kopke's Greenhouse in beautiful Oregon, Wisconsin. Don't go anywhere. We're live on location. It's the All Bowl Show for Wednesday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Do you have a loved one in a nursing home? California mega millionaire Eric Hovde has some bad news for you. He doesn't think they have long to live. It's true. In a recent interview, Hovde said, if you're in a nursing home, you only have a 5-6 month life expectancy. Almost nobody in a nursing home is at a point to vote. That's shocking. But it gets worse. One of Hovde's companies is named a co-defendant in a wrongful death suit from an incident at a California senior living facility. He even referred to himself as an expert in the nursing home business. Yikes, that doesn't sound like the kind of expert we need. Call Eric Hovde at his California office, 714-730-4444. Tell him that Wisconsin seniors deserve to vote and get the care they deserve. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Incorporated.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tottle Ball Show, live on location on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are live at Kopke's Greenhouse in the town of Dunn proper in Dane County, just outside by a couple of miles, as Bob Uecker might say, just a bit outside of Oregon, Wisconsin. And if you're unfamiliar, that's just south of Madison. It's a quick little short nice drive from Madison down here to Kopke's. And as I said, even if you don't live in the Madison area proper and you want to take a little day trip or over the weekend, hop in your vehicle and come on down to Kopke's, and it's going to be a great time. Have all great plans, affordable prices, fantastic, knowledgeable, friendly staff. And on Sunday noon until 4, I think you said, noon till 3, live music here at the gazebo, which we're in right now. And then at 3 o'clock, that great benefit auction, all kinds of planters, beautiful, full-grown, ready-to-go planters at Kopke's Greenhouse. And they're going to be auctioned off by a professional auctioneer. All proceeds, along with the concession proceeds, are going to go to the Wisconsin Honor Flight to help get our Wisconsin veterans out to Washington, D.C., and to honor them. So it's a great cause. It's a great company. It's a great place to be. Kopke's Greenhouse this Sunday from noon until 3, auction at 3 o'clock. But you can be out here 7 days a week. It is spectacular. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. We've got Catherine on the line talking about Memorial Day weekend plans because we've been asking folks where you're going, if you're going anywhere. Catherine, thanks for listening and calling in. What say you?
Well, you know, Terry Bell and I, the director for Civic Media, Terry Bell and I are driving back from Chicago, listening to your wonderful show. And you convinced us, Todd, the roads will be too bad for the rest of the week. We're nervous. So Terry and I decided to just go to your house, just be ready for the whole weekend at your place. Is that okay?
Well, that's fine, because people that don't know, Catherine is our program director here at Civic Media, doing a fantastic job, and Terry Bell, our news director, equally fantastic. Catherine happens to be my direct boss. So, yes, Catherine, if you say you're coming to my house, I guess I have no choice but to say yes.
Terry wants to go buy some snacks, so we'll have everything set up for you, but we just need to know where to sleep, what room is ours,
sure.
Terry wants his own room.
Well, maybe I'll bring you one of these great plans, because I know you have a deck, and so we'll bring one of our fine sponsors here, Kopke's Greenhouse, will bring you a plant and we'll celebrate. I know Terry likes he's a big morel mushroom fan. Maybe we'll bring him a we have strawberry plants here. He could grow his own strawberries this year. How about that?
I'm down for it. Absolutely.
He's ready.
All right, fantastic.
He's ready.
Well, tell folks, we got a couple of minutes here. As long as we got you on the phone, you are making your way back from Chicago. I know Civic Media is going to be covering both the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee this summer, but also the Democratic National Convention in Chicago. Give us the lay of the land. You guys have been down there with national media scouting this out. Are plans underway? Are we all set? What did you learn on your trip down to Chicago?
Right. Well, these events are what they call posse groups, and the party officials are really helping us show us this is what you've got, the arena, the workspaces, what do you want, what do you need, what do you don't need, and it just really helps when you're making these plans remotely. They're just vague concepts. When you're actually there at the venues, you can see, oh, this is where the radio booth is. Oh, this is where Media Row will be. And it's very helpful. Also, you know, there's a lot of expense and a lot of rules about things, and they help go over that sort of thing. So the convention planners, both parties, have been incredibly helpful. And we're looking forward to getting the people in Wisconsin some great information that those 2 weeks.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Terry and Catherine. Yeah, I'm looking forward. We're going to be doing our show from both of those conventions. And like you said, Terry, I'm looking forward to not just bringing people, you know, what they might normally see on the television or what have you, but trying to bring some of these stories of folks who are there and a little bit of behind the scenes that people might not get on the major networks. And looking forward to working with both of you and being down there. I mean, it's historic, and especially, you know, no matter how people vote to have a national convention in Wisconsin, economically, it's good. We're hoping at least for some kind of a boon. Even if you don't agree with the politics, take their money, right? It spends as much, as better, as well as anybody else's.
Oh, my goodness. Republican National Convention and the NFL draft down eastern Wisconsin, the ripple effects be felt for miles and miles beyond Milwaukee and Green Bay.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Who's driving, Catherine or Terry?
Yeah, I'm driving. And I'll tell you one thing that Terry didn't mention, because what's happening outside the venues will be the same as it was today, I suspect. We got protested.
Did you really?
Going to Garfield, what's it called? Garfield Conservancy. It's really interesting. It was lovely. We got to speak to a woman named Mary there who works there. And we met some of our colleagues and had a couple drinks, just getting ready for the morning this morning, last night. And I'll be darned if there wasn't a protest against our war in Israel. I mean, the war that's going on in Israel. And it was there, and it was also at the arena downtown Chicago. So they're going to be there in August, I can guarantee you.
See,
and July, I'm so lucky.
See, when I hear stories like this, I just want to, as we heard from our guest in the first half hour here of PJ Leach, I just want to be a cicada. I just want to emerge, eat, have sex, and die. You know, that's all I want. And I just want, if there is reincarnation, I'm coming back as a cicada. Well, I appreciate you guys calling in. Stay safe out there on the roadways. And yes, I think we should just chill out this Memorial Day, not go anywhere. At least we're coming to Kopke's Greenhouse for this great auction coming up at 3 o'clock on Sunday. Thanks so much, Catherine and Terry, for calling in. We'll see you back at the station tomorrow. Appreciate it. Thank you. Well, all right, they're coming up. I guess, Amers, you're invited too. Come on over. Special thanks to Gordy Kopke for being a great guest, also being a great host. Also to PJ Leach from the Extension and UW-Madison, Wisconsin's bug guy on cicadas. Mr. Amers doing a great job, as well as Luke Mathers helping out on engineering today. Catherine Lake and Terry Bell for calling in and being fantastic as well. And most of all of you for listening and for calling in and texting. Thank you. Come out to Kopke's Greenhouse this Sunday, 3 o'clock, a great auction for Wisconsin Honor Flight. Stay tuned now for Maggie Dawn. This is Todd Allball. Say whatever you're fighting for, whatever you believe in, do not give up. Keep banging your drum. We'll see you tomorrow back in the studio, live from Kopke's Greenhouse. Make it a great day.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK. Earl Ingram.
Join me Thursday morning at 9 a.m. We'll go in the pharmacy with Dr. Omar to answer your questions. You won't want to miss it.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10. The Maggie Dawn Show.
So I have super parallel parking skills. And on the east side where I live, I will often sit on my front porch and like a play-by-play call as if it was a sport. Parallel parking to me is a sport. I'm the Stephen A. Smith of parallel parking. That should go on a t-shirt.
We'll get you one made.
Oh my gosh.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.